This is Talking Clean with Irene, a podcast for anyone like me who wants to kick the toxins out of their life and live a more natural and sustainable lifestyle. Join me as I unpack how to live toxin-free with insights from scientists, doctors, the creators behind those beautiful organic brands we love, and other experts. I'm your host, Irene Falcone. Let's talk about the one thing that everybody uses every single day. Any ideas? A toothbrush? Soap? All right, let me give you a hint. We definitely need it as we're coming into summer and it's not sunscreen. Yep, you guessed it. I'm talking about deodorants. And of course, natural deodorants. Now, before I go into who my subject is today, I wanted to give you a really quick story. Back about 15 years ago, maybe it was 20 years ago now, but it was before Facebook was around, and the only way we could really talk about products and beauty was through forums. And I posted a question on the forum to ask if anybody knew of any natural deodorant brands, because I wanted to swap from my mainstream deodorant to something more natural. And I was banned from that forum because apparently we were not allowed to discuss natural deodorants on the forum. Wow. Hasn't the world moved so far along in the last 15 and 20 years? Now, let's just talk about mainstream deodorants because they are some of the worst offenders when it comes to ingredients. They are known to contain ingredients such as aluminium, parabens, and synthetic fragrances. So switching to a natural deodorant is one of the best things we can do for our health. Today, I'm talking to the creators of one of my favorite natural deodorants, No Pong. I'm talking to Melanie McFean and Chris Cayley. This husband and wife team launched their natural deodorant paste in 2015, and my goodness, it is one of our all-time best sellers every single day, even throughout winter at Nourish Life. Now, once you've tried it, it's really not hard to see why it's so popular. And believe me, I've tried a lot of natural deodorants. Today, Melanie and Chris are going to share with us the difference between their deodorant and the mainstream brands, as well as their formulas, how they work, and some great advice for anybody wanting to make the big switch. Hi, Chris and Melanie. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi.
Hey, Irene.
I thought I should tell you that you you were both one of the highest requested people for me to get on the show from all of our customers.
Fantastic. That's very flattering.
It is very flattering. That's amazing.
I think it's because it's starting to get into summer here in Australia and we're starting to get a bit pongy.
Look out. We can fix that.
Please, can I start by just understanding what made you create No Pong? What was it that inspired you?
A few years ago, well, quite a number of years ago now, I kind of started paying attention to what I was putting in and on my body, just to be more mindful about it, to understand the ingredients and, you know, not that I'm perfect all the time, but I just wanted to have a good understanding. I think it helps my overall wellness and health. And I started making my own skincare products, and deodorant was one of them. And Chris, being, you know, the man that he is, was skeptical. And we actually, quite a while after I had started doing that, went away on a surf trip in Java, and he ran out of his normal deodorant and started using mine. And basically, from there, I noticed he was wearing the same t-shirt 3 days in a row and just said to him, you know, honey, I know we're in Java, but you really maybe should think about changing your shirt. And he said, no, I don't smell. I've been using your deodorant. And he didn't smell. So, we knew we were onto something, and that's kind of how No Pong was born.
So did you make a few different formulations first and then sort of get to, oh, this is the most effective by playing around with, you know, the certain levels of bicarb and other things, or was it just on your first shot you got it right?
Well, I played around a little bit with the different ratios, but for the bicarb and the other ingredients, we kind of got pretty close to the beginning, except for probably that temperature stability. And so we worked a lot on that to make sure that it wasn't, you know, melting when it was hot and freezing when it was cold. That's when we decided to take it out to the market.
It's a really unique formulation because when you look at it and when you touch it with your fingers, you just think there's no way this is going to work because it's not really, it's sort of like a whipped consistency, I think, and then it kind of melts on and anyway, and then you put it on and it really is 3 or 4 days later, or I shouldn't say 3 or 4 days later. I definitely don't go 3 days. But like by the end of the day, you know, or the next morning if you haven't had a shower, you do notice that you don't smell. So I get that. So I have to ask you, our customers want me to ask you this, and I know the answer to this question already, but I've got to ask it for all of the customers that have asked. Why the name?
Chris. Well, look, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Yeah, I'll take this one. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and we do like to have a bit of fun. And at the end of the day, we wanted the name to reflect, you know, what the product does. And I think one of the things that we can put our hand on heart and say is that Nopong does what it says on the tin. You know, on the rare occasion, I will say that we have had people get in touch and say they don't like the name. And we've had a couple of people request that, you know, we use blank or plain packaging. But, you know, we're really proud of the name. And at the end of the day, at least it's memorable, if nothing else.
Yeah, some people don't like the name as well. I that's why I had to ask, because I thought, oh, that's an unusual thing to complain about, because the product's great. And it's not really an offensive name. I also noticed that when I wear it that I am less wet than when I wear a different deodorant, maybe a roll-on. It's not an antiperspirant, obviously. Is it just my perception then that I'm less wet?
Antiperspirants and deodorants are completely separate products and classified differently by the TGA. And antiperspirants actually work by blocking sweat pores that prevent sweating, and that's why they're classified different. So deodorants don't do that, and Nopong is designed to eliminate body odor by eliminating the bacteria that cause body odor, but allowing your skin to breathe. So we found this as well when we first started using Nopong, that initially we probably sweated a little bit more, but right now, like, you know, quite a way down the track, like, we sweat very, very little, and we spend a lot of time in the tropics. We put it down to the fact that we're not continually trying to block our pores with antiperspirants, and, you know, our sweat glands are just, you know, breathing normally, and they're not trying to pump sweat out.
Well, that must be what it is for me, because I've been using natural deodorant for so long now that I am sweating less. So that's interesting. How long do you think then it would take? So just say somebody was using a mainstream antiperspirant and then they decided, okay, I'm going to move to natural. How long do you think it would take for their body to sort of adjust to your natural deodorant?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I don't think it would happen straight away. So I would expect most people to probably find, if they've been long-term antiperspirant users and literally physically blocking up their sweat pores, they would probably sweat more at the start. So it could take, you know, it could take a couple of weeks, it could take months, but definitely, I mean, we haven't done a study on that. There's an interesting study in there for sure, but yeah, it could take a little while.
And so what would you recommend then for anybody wanting to make the switch? Do you think they should go straight to your regular Nopong, or you've got the more sensitive bicarb-free versions? What would you suggest?
For us, we both started with, you know, our Nopong original. That was our original product. And I think most people are fine with it. I think one thing to, you know, be mindful when you're starting a new product is that you'll start with a small amount, you know, make sure, as with any product, you're kind of taking your time and check your skin and all those things. And I think it's fine to start with, but just keeping in mind, as with any new products, that you just keep a close eye and make sure that it's working well for you.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say go straight to the regular Nopong. Start off slowly. Yeah. And if you do get any sort of itchiness from the bicarb, well, first make sure you don't put it on straight after you've shaved.
Exactly.
But if you get a little bit of a reaction, then you can switch to the bicarb-free. Is it just as effective? I actually haven't used the bicarb-free because the bicarb one works perfectly for me.
So we find it just as effective. We've tested, and we had testers as well before we launched our Nopong bicarb free, and they all found it effective for 12 hours. So it's just a little bit gentler, just some different ingredients. But yeah, it is just as effective.
I've put it through a couple of long 24-hour plane journeys, and yeah, it's definitely stood up. That was part of our initial testing, actually. Like, can it work in the field? And it definitely does.
Can you tell me, why do people react to bicarb? Because I've found that across the board with all of the deodorants that I stock that contain bicarb.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So, you know, as you probably know, most deodorants and as well as soaps and shampoos are all alkaline in nature. I guess it's been that way for thousands of years since people were kind of mixing lye with fats and making soaps. So the other thing is that people have, you know, a slightly acidic layer on their skin. often called kind of an acid mantle, that for some people that layer might not be as robust or might have been weakened over time through using a combination of products that they use. And when they use a bicarb-based deodorant, this is what tips them over. So I know that you guys actually stock a product that contains apple cider vinegar, and we've actually had a customer that's also used really weak lemon juice at night for a couple of days and has found that she's been able to go back to using Nopalm original without any issues. So, you know, the way that those kind of ingredients would work would obviously they'd be counteracting the alkaline nature of all of the other products, including bicarb-based deodorants that they're putting on their skin, and kind of helping restore and reset that skin pH. So it's not something that we've personally had to do because we don't have any irritation ourselves. But yeah, we've had a couple of customers say that lemon juice works, and yeah, and we kind of point people in the direction of that apple cider vinegar-based product as well.
Is that the detox you pick? Because what's really interesting is our buyer, she could not use any bicarb. Both of her armpits were like, they looked awful, and she couldn't use actually any deodorant at all because she had such a bad reaction to the bicarb. She actually used the detox your pit, and I kid you not, after the treatment, now she can use your deodorant and any other bicarb deodorant. It literally cleared it up completely, and she's never had a problem ever again. And that was about 2 years ago or a year ago now. So that must be the apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, I'd put it down to doing a bit of a reset or a little boost of skin pH, or actually reducing skin pH, which is the acid side. I'd put it down to that for sure.
Oh, I'll link that product in the show notes. That's great for anyone wanting to make the switch. It's a bit nervous about bicarb. And how about for the gym junkies or somebody that likes to do the sort of yoga in the hot room and all that sort of more intense exercise? Will this hold up for them? And how about for men as well with the, you know, the hairy armpits? Does that work for them as well?
Well, for the gym, I'll answer the gym, and then Chris can answer the men question. For the gym and the hot yoga and for running and all of that, yeah, Nopalm holds up because we've designed so it doesn't wash off while you sweat because of the ingredients in it. Like you said, it kind of just rubs in nicely, and so it just doesn't go away and it just keeps on working. So that definitely holds up. We do a lot of armpit sniffing after we exercise and other people exercise when they're testing, and it definitely holds up on that.
In terms of being okay for men with hair, look, I've been using it since the outset, and hand on heart, I can say that that it's fine. For me, it just rubs in clear, hair's no problem, and literally from a personal perspective, I don't have any issues with that at all.
And how about moving into a stick or a different sort of variation of the paste? Do you have any ideas in the pipeline for something different, or why mess with what's perfection?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, one of the things that we set out to do when we really first, you know, started thinking about the business was that we just wanted to make the world's best cream deodorant. And there was a couple of reasons for that. And I guess the first one, and this was a very strong stipulation that we both had, was that we didn't want to use any plastic at all. So, you know, if you look at just about every traditional applicator, whether it's a stick or a roll-on, they're typically plastic. It's not to say that it could be impossible to do it without plastic, but that's kind of the status quo at the moment. But, you know, if you take a bit of a step back and look at where the applicator came from, it, you know, it was invented in the 50s and inspired by the ballpoint pen, which was cutting technology at that time. You know, I guess it's evolved into different form factors. Obviously, sticks have evolved from there as well. But I guess fundamental to all applicators is this idea that armpits are dirty. And we just don't really understand that. You know, we kind of believe that it's really natural and important to stay in touch with our body. And we actually had a customer the other day, like very recently, who got in touch to let us know that she found a lump in her armpit because of the way that Nopalm is applied. And I mean, it literally brought a tear to our eyes, and she's going through treatment now, but we're just so glad. And, you know, and she was so glad and so aware that she caught it really early.
I have actually heard that over and over again. Yeah. And it's probably one of the best ways to keep a check on your body as well, because you're putting it on every single day. It's the one thing that you do touch every single day.
Yeah. It makes sense to touch it. Like, it doesn't make sense to not touch it.
Let's talk about the packaging. What is it actually made out of, your packaging? Is it a stainless steel or an aluminium?
It's not an aluminium. It's called tin plate, which is steel, like with a tin kind of coating.
I was hoping you'd say that. Okay, and the best three uses for, as I've seen so many pictures, there's a great promotion in there actually for customers to send in pictures of how they've upcycled their empty tins. What are your three upcycle ideas for your empty tins?
I use mine personally for headphones, like for travel and for those little airplane adapters. That's one.
I keep for travel my earrings. So I have kind of like an earrings travel tin as well. And some people use them for seeds for their garden. And then the other thing is kind of reusing them to make or to store other products. So if you wanted to make travel size, you know, for your lotions and things that aren't in the travel size, you can fill it with that.
Yeah, that's what I use it for. Yeah, fill it up with some other creams and things that I need to pop on myself if I'm going travel. I don't usually travel very often. It's only usually to interstate. I'm a bit of a homebody.
One of my favorites probably was a tooth fairy. So someone decked out the tin to make it like a special tooth fairy tin. So when her kids lose their teeth, they put it in their special Nopong tooth fairy.
Oh my goodness.
Tin. I know. I just loved it. And it's beautiful. It's actually, I think it's on our Instagram. And so they've painted it with nail polish or paint or something on top of it. And it is quite beautiful.
Oh, and then they get a little coin when they put their, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I'm going to share. I need to find that and share that on my page. That's so cute.
We've actually got one stockist that upcycle them and then sell them and donate that to charity.
Oh, I just love that idea. That's something we need to look at. Fantastic. Mm. Getting a little bit personal now. Tell me a little bit about the two of you, because you're married, right?
We are married, yes.
And how does it work being in business together with your husband, Melanie?
It works really well. Actually, Chris and I are, we're very different people. And so we bring different strengths to the business, which helps. So we're not kind of, you know, stepping over each other. We complement each other. It's actually made our relationship stronger because, you know, running a business together is quite intense and it just brings a whole different aspect to it. And I also have another job as well. And so that gives a little bit of balance too. So it's not like we're spending 24 hours a day together, but it's really, really good.
Which one of you is the more creative one and which one's more of the business one or the formulator one out of the two of you?
It's a tricky thing to say. I think Chris is more creative, but he's also very business-minded. I think we're both quite business-minded. And then the formulations are started by me. So yes, I'm more of the science-y person. Yeah.
Is it true that you launched your business within 24 hours? Is that true?
It is true. Oh. It's true. We got it to the point of launching it in 24 hours. So basically, like, we were super excited. We're on a Javanese beach. You know, I hadn't smelled for 3 days and we literally went up to the village and got some pen and paper, came up with the name on that kind of day. We basically just got together and, you know, had what we called at the time a hackathon. So knocked up a quick logo, which actually Melanie art directed, and it is still the exact same logo we use today. So that one stood the test of time. There's been a few, you know, different iterations of it, but fundamentally the logo was on the tin, was created in that first 24 hours. We did a business plan, a strategy, and most of that still stands today. Packaging as well, we decided what that should be. And, you know, again, that has evolved, but it's still pretty true to our original concepts. And then we registered the domains and built a basic website and we were pretty much good to go. So that was kind of getting it to launch point. And then because we were away, we were traveling at the time. When we got back a few weeks later, that's when we actually, you know, started kind of producing product and pushed it out there. But yeah, 24 hours got us to launch point, basically.
Well, and did you start making it sort of yourselves in your kitchen and then, because it's made in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, it's made in Australia. I don't know how we kept up in the early days either. We were making it in the kitchen and there was a lot of late nights and then we'd get orders come in and it was pretty stressful going, oh, like there's 100 people, like we've got to get 100 tins like ready. How do we do this? And we're literally up to like, you know, 1 and 2 a.m. When kind of orders would flood in. So it was pretty full on in those early days. And we've got some help on that now and a really great manufacturing team, which is much more scalable, which is good. But it was pretty full on definitely in those early days.
Well, I remember meeting you back in Belrose in my second warehouse and you came to meet me and you had absolutely no intention of letting me stock your products. And I said, please give me a go. And, you know, ever since then we've had to move all of your deliveries to the very front of – we've got a massive warehouse out near Amazon now actually in Victoria. We keep all your deliveries at the front because they're always, always consistently in the top 10, even all the way through winter. So I don't know how you keep up with the production now.
It's a lot of very accurate forecasting, I guess.
Oh, that's the science part. Okay.
Yeah.
Not my type of science, which is just chuck all those boxes at the front near the packing station because you're gonna be needing one for every order. That's about as scientific as I get.
Yeah, we've got a really good team, like Chris said, behind us, and they're just amazing. And so as we grow, they're growing with us, and we're all learning together. So we're getting there.
And what do you think about making a vegan formulation? Because they both contain beeswax, don't they? And the vegan population seems to be growing very quickly.
Yes, they do both contain beeswax. Our beeswax is ethically sourced, though, just so I can be clear about that. We do have a letter from our source saying that the bees are not touched or harmed in the process of removing them, which is good. But the other thing about beeswax is it's an ingredient that has great physical properties in that in its structure and the texture and the way it interacts. So there are a lot of the other plant waxes out there. And we are actually currently working on a new version that uses plant-based waxes. But we really want to get it right from a texture perspective. Like you said, you know, the way Nopong is applied and its current texture is so good that we're just really close, but we're not quite there. So yeah, everyone can be excited that we will have a vegan version shortly, but want to make it really good, just like our other products.
Thank you so much, Melanie and Chris, for coming on the show. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you, and I know our customers are going to love this podcast. We're in spring now, so it's the perfect time to start changing to natural deodorant. Okay, bye, guys.
See you, Irene. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Nourished Life, Australia's home of toxin-free shopping. To learn more and get all the show notes, visit us at nourishedlife.com.au. If you have any feedback about the show, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at Nourished Life, which is all one word. Don't forget to subscribe to Talking Clean with Irene in your podcast app. And finally, if you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star review. It really helps other people to find the show. I'm your host, Irene Falcone, and I'll speak to you next time.